Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, here's the host of the top-rated show for moms, Maria Bailey, on Mom Talk Radio.
So I am officially a mom with all high school graduates. My daughter graduated on Friday. I'm super excited for her as she starts her new journey. Got four kids in college now. And I can tell you from experience, moms, if you haven't started saving for those college educations, it's never too late. You'll probably, even if you started the day that your child was born, I hate to tell you, you probably won't save enough. But it's just a reminder that take it from this mom who has four college tuitions. Start saving now. Put away that one Starbucks coffee allocation and allowance every single week, and that compound interest is certainly going to help you. So do it now. But I'm really excited about her going off to college. I don't know what I am going to do with my time. Knowing me, it'll be a little exercise because I love to sweat. I love to work out. And I'm one of those crazy people that have a lot of energy and I like to burn it as many times a day as I can. I also, going hand in hand with exercising, though, the other thing that I will be doing probably is eating more the things that I love to eat rather than the things that my kids like to eat. I'll be cooking a lot more healthy, I'm sure, because I love the fresh stuff. I love the fresh fruits and vegetables that aren't even cooked. And my very favorite thing is tomatoes. And it took me a long time to find really, really good tomatoes. And this is the time of year that you can find them, but they're where I live, we don't have farmers markets, but we do have grocery stores that carry Tastyli tomatoes. And, you know, I used to think all tomatoes were the same if you bought them in the supermarket, but they're not. And Tastyli tomatoes, they actually keep them on the vine longer, so they have the flavor. And love them on the grill, love them raw. I just like grab one and eat it. And I want to call out Tastyli tomatoes because they also help support Mom Talk Radio. The other brand that brings me to you every week is Premama. Premama is a supplement company, so you don't have to take those big old horse pills anymore when you are expecting a baby. You can go to drinkpremama.com where you'll find all the Premama products right there on the website. They're available at CVS, Target, Amazon, and specialty stores. We have a great show lined up for you today. And when we return, Kimberly Norris is going to join us. She is a lawyer and the co-founder of Ministry Safe Institute and Abuse Prevention Systems. And she's going to be talking with us about how she represents those who are abused and what you can do if you know someone who is abused in your community.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
I am joined today by Kimberly D. Norris. She is a partner and shareholder at the Fort Worth, Texas law firm of Love and Norris and the co-founder of Ministry Safe Institute and Abuse Prevention System. She represents victims of abuse, serves as a consulting and testifying expert in abuse cases, and provides crisis management to ministries of all sizes. And she's here to talk a little bit about camp and sending your child to camp and some of the precautions and thoughts that you need to put around that. So welcome, Kimberly, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So with a resume like you have and the work that you have, it may be surprising to some people that summer camp is the theme and the conversation that we're going to have today. So you want to talk a little bit about how the two are aligned?
Sure. Well, as you know, summer camp is iconic. I mean, summer camp and particularly Christ-based contexts provide really great growth opportunities for children. At the same time, camp presents some unique and distinct risks where child sexual abuse is concerned. And this is largely because campers spend significant time with camp staff members and volunteers who are involved in the camp. Generally, that's in a circumstance where there's not direct parental supervision. And, you know, camp culture encourages that kids and campers who are, you know, involved in the camp experience, that they respect and trust and sometimes even idolize camp counselors and staff members. Mm-hmm. There's some fundamental camp contacts that can really increase the risk of predatory behaviors. There's shared rooms. There's an opportunity for one-to-one interaction. There's changing of clothes for different activities. There's overnight stay, water activities, sports. You know, there's just some fundamental camp contacts that increase risk of child sexual abuse.
So when we're looking at camp, should we be asking how they screen? I mean, certainly from what you're saying, we shouldn't assume that they're doing background checks and all of those kind of screening with their employees. Is that something that we should be asking?
Yeah, there's some questions that parents should ask. I mean, when you look at the fundamental statistics, 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 young men will have been sexually abused before reaching 18 years of age. And this statistic doesn't skip any paradigm. Part of what we have to be aware of as parents is the reality that some of the protective protocols that we have relied upon for years, for instance, the idea of stranger danger, is not a preventative or protective protocol where child sexual abuse is concerned, because 90% of kids who are sexually abused know and trust their abuser. It is somebody who is inside the proverbial fence. That can be a family member, that can be a family friend, that can be a teacher, a coach, heaven forbid, a camp counselor. You know, molesters groom kids for sexual abuse, and molesters groom the gatekeepers. And the gatekeepers are parents, they are camp leadership, et cetera, et cetera. So any parent who is considering sending their child to camp, I'm a mom, I sent my child to camp, but there's some questions we should ask. Some of those questions include to the camp professionals, how are your camp personnel screened? And if the camp tells you, we do criminal background checks, and that's it, that's an ineffective screening process.
Okay.
Here's why.
What should they be doing?
Yeah, statistically, less than 3% of sexual predators will encounter the criminal justice system. So you got to ask questions about their screening process that go beyond looking at past criminal history. Are they utilizing an application? Are they utilizing references? Are they trained to assess risk? Do they understand risk indicators related to child sexual abuse? So if a camp tells you, we do criminal background checks, and you say, what else? And they say, did we tell you about our criminal background checks? That's an insufficient screening process for overnight camp context. And in this day and age, camps have become more sophisticated of necessity with more effective screening processes. So asking about what process they have in place is important.
I think that, are you talking about the adult counselors or, because there's a lot of camps, I know when I sent my kids to sleepaway camp, where there's 18-year-olds or college students that are, you know, 19 years old, but then there's also counselors that are 17, you know, 16 or 17-year-old who are watching the kids as well. So does this pertain to all of them?
It does. Actually, if there's any camp staff member who's under the age of 18, you can't get past criminal history on individuals under the age of 18, typically.
Okay.
At least utilizing the normal avenues by which you would get past criminal history. So any camp that's utilizing staff members that are under age 18 for any purpose, well, frankly, they probably shouldn't be supervising children if they're under 18. But if they're utilizing younger minors in those roles, then they would have to be particularly skilled in incorporating an effective screening process since they don't get the benefit of a criminal background check.
So how do we prepare our children? Is there things that we can do to prepare them for going to camp without freaking them out?
Sure. I think there are some basics that need to happen both ahead of time and in communicating with the camp and in communicating with our children. Besides asking about screening, I think it's important that you ask about what training camp personnel receive related to the risk of child sexual abuse, asking what policies do you have in place that address this risk, and what is your policy related to post-camp contact is important. Asking how the camp addresses the risk of peer-to-peer abuse, kids who are sexually aggressive with other kids. I think asking whether the camp is accredited or part of a larger conference can be important. The larger conferences or accreditation bodies can require some higher standards for camps. In terms of communicating with your own child, I think the starting point is to discuss sexuality at a very young age. I mean, the motto, if you wait, it's too late. It's very applicable here. Children have a natural sexual... I'm sorry.
And I'm sure educating them on, you know, what's appropriate, and that, you know, if they're changing out of their bathing suit, no one should touch their private areas, or that they should, you know, be getting dressed, not in front of anyone other than, you know, themselves is probably a good advice as well. Where can our moms go to find out more? We just have a minute left. Do you have a website?
Yeah, two websites, ministrysafe.com as well as abusepreventionsystems.com provides a lot of free materials. There's also an online training that will be posted in about 7 days. That's our parent training that's aimed directly at parents to equip parents to ask the right questions related to camp or sports interaction or schools, et cetera, et cetera.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Kimberly Norris, for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And we have all of that posted on momtalkradio.com so that you can get it. And really good information, because now is the time of the year that your kids are going off to camps. And it's really important that they know and you know the situations that they may get into. When we return, we're going to be turning the spotlight on Corey Reed. She's one mom that's zigging and zagging around parenting.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
I love when moms have four kids because you know that they are crazed, and I can relate to them because I have four kids as well. Corey Reed is the mom that we're putting the spotlight on today. She blogs at zagzigparenting.com. You can find her on Twitter at zagzigparenting. And we're here just to talk and just, I guess, dish. Maybe we can zig and zag around this conversation. Welcome, Corey, to Mom Talk Radio.
Well, thank you so much. That sounds good. I think I always say to people, they say, oh my gosh, you have four. And I say, whether you have one or four, your house just gets more full and louder, right?
I know. You love the sound of a full house? I mean, it's my youngest graduated from high school this weekend, and I am just so afraid of the silence. Like, I don't want it to be quiet.
I hear you. I do find yourself missing those things. And I remember my mom always saying, oh, you'll miss it someday. And when it was crazy, I was like, no, thank you. But now I hear you. I totally agree with you.
Right. So now I'm like, okay, if all my kids are going to leave, then can my husband leave too? I mean, if I'm going to be alone, I might as well. No, I'm just joking. That's a whole nother show we can talk about, Corey.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about, you have a book called Misadventures. Tell me a little bit about that one.
Well, I have been a career-driven mom for over 20 years, and my husband actually is a stay-at-home dad. And we put together a collection of stories, real authentic stories, to really get at the point that it's chaos. And again, whether you have one or four, nothing is perfect. And I think there's a lot of stress in society around Instagram and Facebook, how that's perfect society and everything happens. But as you know, Maria, things aren't perfect. Most people zigzag through life every day. Nothing happens as we intend. But in our case, we called it zag-zig because we had also the role reversal situation. So it's a collection of funny stories we hope that make people laugh, can relate, and help release the pressure that we all feel as parents, career-driven parents, at-home parents, whatever it may be.
Yeah, and so let me talk about that role reversal, because when I was in corporate America and I was one of those moms where I was the primary breadwinner and there were other moms like me, it really does something to your head, because you grow up thinking you're not going to be the primary breadwinner. And it's more and more common today than it was when I had four young children. But did you find that it was easy to shift your brain like that? Or was there any resentment? Because most of the women I ever talked to, there was a period of resentment before they really got into it.
Yeah, you know, I think that definitely happens. Like, I wanted to be in the, I told my husband, we dated when we were 16, that I wanted to marry someone to stay home with the kids. So that was kind of my journey. We talked in there how that switched a little bit for a while. And so we got some good experience the other way. But I definitely think that first year was tough because he was staying home with our two. And then I was still doing everything else. And I read this book called The Family Manager one day by Kathy Peel. And I said, here, you've been promoted. Yep. Here's your new job, your family manager, which I would not recommend from a marital counseling standpoint. We've been through that. But it does take some adjustment. And I think that, you know, all families struggle, as you know. I definitely appreciated having a spouse that was there so that we could, you know, I could pursue my career with a lot of passion. And I totally respect families who are dual working, single parents. But for us, we just wanted to share those stories that make people feel they're not alone in the chaos and have a dialogue about people sharing different roles.
Yeah. Boy, that's a name I haven't heard in a while, Kathy Peel. And that was a great book. That was an awesome book that she wrote, and one that I read a long time ago as well. So, Corey, what would be your best 60-second advice for a mom who is trying to balance a career and take care of her children?
Yeah, I think we all choose to decide what is important for the day. And I think it's really prioritizing that and then accepting that whatever decision you make at the time, it's okay. And breathe. And the fact that we need to learn to laugh at ourselves a lot more, because nothing is perfect. And so give yourself a break, breathe, and learn to appreciate the humor in the moment. It's taken me a long time to appreciate that, Maria. But I certainly think there's a lot of joy in being present in the moment and realizing you're not alone in the chaos. And if anything else, I hope that's a message that people feel.
That's fantastic advice. And you can get some more of Corey's great advice at zagzigparenting.com. Really good stuff there and a lot of wisdom. Thank you, Corey, so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And for all of you moms who may be in corporate America, like I was and Corey was, check out bluesuitmom.com. It's a website that I started many years ago, and you can find it all at bluesuitmom.com. There's a link to it on Mom Talk Radio, and there's a link to Corey's site as well. When we return, we're going to be talking with Dr. Michelle McCroy Higgins, an associate professor of speech and language. We're going to be talking about how your child speaks and what you can do if you find a problem.
Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
You know, I'm very excited to talk with our next guest. She is a co-author of Time to Talk, What You Need to Know About Your Child's Speech and Language Development. And even if you have older children, don't tune us out. It's really important to hear this, because your child could develop speech delays and speech challenges even later in life. I know for myself, one of my children were in the eighth grade and began to stutter. So Michelle McCroy Higgins is a PhD and associate professor in the Department of Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology at Hunter College. She's practicing speech language therapist who has worked with hundreds of infants, toddlers, and young children. And her co-author, Carlin Kolker is a former reporter for Bloomberg News and Reuters, and they co-authored the book. And I'm delighted that Michelle has joined us today. So welcome, Michelle.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. So let's talk about speech a little bit. And am I correct that even though we pay attention to it when our children are babies and toddlers, it can change and be something that we're concerned about later in life?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like you said, there are many instances where children who are in elementary school or even high school could experience some sort of difficulty related to speech and language. And parents might not be primed to think about it in those ages, but it can absolutely happen. So you mentioned an example already. Some kids can begin stuttering a little bit later. And another example is a language-based learning disability. And so sometimes in elementary school, in second grade or third grade, kids just really struggle and start to show some signs of academic difficulty. And we can look back at these kids and kind of see some patterns. Maybe they were a late talker. Maybe they struggled with speech and language development in the preschool years. And then they seem to catch up and do okay. But it's possible in elementary school, those things can happen again.
And so let's talk about the fact that research shows that babies actually start recognizing words when they're in the womb. Talk to me about that one.
Yes. Well, when babies are in the womb, their auditory system, their ears develop pretty early on, so that in the third trimester, babies' ears are fully formed. And they're listening. They can't hear like you and I because, mm-hmm. you know, where they're surrounded by fluid. So it's kind of like when we hear someone speak underwater, it's kind of muffled. But babies are amazing in that they can pick up the intonation or the pattern of the language that they're exposed to. And they can hear the differences between male and female voices. They can even pick out their mother's voice over other female voices. And so this is really important because when babies are born, they're ready to listen. They're ready to learn, and they can acquire any language really that you expose them to.
That's truly amazing. So what are some of the key messages in your book as far as understanding and helping our children reach whatever milestones they should be reaching?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that something that I've grown to know throughout the years is that parents really understand their children best. They really have a sense for how their child is doing. And if a parent is concerned about any aspect of development, they shouldn't feel ashamed or afraid to go ask for help. Check in with the pediatrician, check in with a speech and language pathologist or speech and language therapist, and to get an evaluation to see exactly what's going on with the child. We also know the best thing that we can do is talk to our kids.
So do the words have to be spoken words, or can it be singing as well?
Singing is great, absolutely. Babies, kids, everyone responds to music, especially young children, and they love repetition and rhythm. So singing is great, talking is great, doing them together is great.
And what about, we just have a few minutes, what are some signs that there might be something we need to be concerned about, and then what are the next steps?
Right. So we expect babies to start talking by about 12 months. And that can be a little earlier or it can be a little later. So if your baby is not saying any true words by 15 or 16 months, what we want to do is get them evaluated. And you'd want to see a speech language pathologist or a speech language therapist. And depending on where you live, there might be different resources available to you. And so the first stop you could make is with your pediatrician, and they should be able to refer you to somebody close by. So that's one thing.
And are there particular resources that we need to, maybe we can go to online? Do you have a website that goes along with the book?
Absolutely. We have a website. It's called timetotalkbook.com, and it has some information and also has links to by purchasing our book. Another great online resource is the American Speech Language Hearing Association. The acronym is ASHA, ASHA.org. And so that is a really great resource for families.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And I just want to throw out the thing that I didn't know when my child needed to see a therapist is consult your local colleges, because many of them have a Department of Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology, and often they have services that you can utilize. And my son went to Florida Atlantic University. He got great care, and now he has a job where he actually wears a headset and has to do some public speaking. So so there are resources out there, and we have a link to Michelle McCroy Higgins' book as well on Mom Talk Radio. So thank you for joining us today, Michelle. And when we return, you know her from Today Show, Fox and Friends, Dateline, and NPR. She's Dr. Meg Meeker, and she's here to talk about her new book, Hero, Being the Strong Father Your Child Needs.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
You have seen her on the Today Show, Fox and Friends, Dateline, NPR. You've read about her in the Huffington Post and a whole lot of other places. And now she gets to add Mom Talk Radio to her resume. And we're excited about that. She's a pediatrician, a mother, and a best-selling author of 6 books. Dr. Meg Meeker is the country's leading authority on parenting, teens, and children's health. And she's joining us today to be on Mom Talk Radio. We're going to talk about her new book, Hero, Being the Strong Father Your Children Need. So welcome, Meg, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you very much. So, you know, when I saw this title of the book, I immediately thought, you know, it has to be written by a man, but it's written by you. So how does a woman write about the perspective about fathers, and why did you think the book was so important to write?
Well, it's a great question. I'm a pediatrician, and mm-hmm. I have practiced a little over 30 years. So I've listened to literally thousands of kids over the years. So I wrote Hero trying to show dads who they are through their kids' eyes. So this isn't about fathers, you needed this, and you needed this, and you needed this. This is about, let me speak for children on what they want from fathers. And I think that I know that in a child's eyes, when a child's born and they're very young, they look up to their father as a hero. So this isn't about saying, okay, dad, you need to do this and do this to become a hero. It's a role that children give their father, and fathers either do well by it, or they crush the child's heart, or they help their kids soar, or whatever. But the reason I think it's important for moms is because there's a lot we can do to help the dads of our children be better dads.
Yeah. And so first of all, how do you define a hero dad?
Okay. From a kid's perspective, again, remember, a hero dad to a child is one who communicates that he loves them like crazy, mm-hmm. that he's there for them, that he'll have their back, and that his job is to sort of walk them through life and teach them how to live well. And basically, a hero dad is about getting the big stuff right. It's not about, you know, making sure they get the right job or get into the right school or get the right grades or get on the right sports team. It's really about getting, you know, meeting the deep longings of your child's heart, which are not very many, but it's something we don't often think about because we're so oriented towards helping our kids mm-hmm. perform.
Right, right. So what can a mom do to help create that bond and nurture? Because I think sometimes we get really busy and we let our relationship with the father, whether it's our spouse or a friend or a partner, whatever, sometimes taint that relationship that they have with their children.
We do. You know, we do, because this is what women have been trained, myself included. I mean, this is kind of a mea culpa. My husband and I practice pediatrics together, and we've raised 4 kids, and now we have some grandkids. You know, we are taught as moms that we are to provide everything to our children. you know, we're to cook the right meals, we're to attend the PTA, we're to be the room mom, we're to this and everything. And that's an enormous burden to carry, but we carry it because we feel we need to be our child's everything. And so when it comes to parenting, it's hard for us to sort of back off a little bit and say, you know, I think that now I'm talking about a dad who's in the home and reasonably engaged. It's hard for us to say, okay, you know what? You're a better listener than I, so I'm going to tell you that and encourage you in that. So when this happens with our daughter, why don't you take on that role? Or we don't abdicate territory in the home very well because we want things done our way all the time, and that's a good thing, but it's also a curse because we are exhausted. So what we need to do as moms is help identify what the fathers are good at doing with the kids and tell them that, encourage them that, and then make room for them to do that. And I know as a mom, that was really hard for me because we had three daughters and a son, and particularly with girls, it's pretty tough to do.
Right, right. Yeah, I know that sometimes, you just don't leave room in the day. And I'm going to call out one dad I know who just he spent one-on-one time with his daughter. They spent time researching turtles, and they went out and they got the perfect turtle, and that was their time. And just awesome. What if you're in the divorced kind of situation where there might be some anger lingering between you and the father of your child?
Yeah, well, that's very common. First of all, it's really important for mothers to realize you can divorce the guy, but your kids can't. And so mothers, you know, children need and want connection with their fathers, even if mom believes he's a real bad egg. Maybe he's in jail. Maybe he's, he's an alcoholic or whatever. But children need some kind of connection with their dad. So it's really important, first and foremost, have your anger issues towards your ex. Talk to them with a friend about him. Never, never, never bring the kids in the conversation, because what'll happen is if kids hear mom complain about dad too much, A, it drives them away from dad, but it drives them away from mom. Because ultimately kids don't like to live around anger a lot. They don't want to mop up their mom's bitterness and anger. And I see kids do this all the time because it's hard not to spill it over in front of your kids. But it's extremely important not to, because it really alienates the kids from dad, but also from mom. So deal with your anger towards your ex-husband with friends, a counselor, somebody. And then...
Well, this is really, really great stuff. And I just want to get this in before we have to close. Do you have a website? Because this is fantastic stuff. And I know our listeners are going to want to go and find out more about you.
Sure. Because there's a lot of animosity and a lot of pain that women carry. So I really wrote the book Hero for them as well, to understand how to help their ex-husbands or their husbands. MegMeekerMD.com. I have lots and lots and lots of resources on there.
Well, good advice. And we'll have to have you back, because it's a really, really good conversation that needs to be had. Thank you, Meg, so much. And we have a link to your book posted on Mom Talk Radio. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Andy Boyle. He is a writer, web developer, and speaker. And wait till you hear what he wrote his first book about.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
Okay, the last segment of the show is really going to make you laugh. We're done with the serious stuff. Now we are going to move into Andy Boyle, who has written a very funny book called Adulthood for Beginners. He has been writing for a very long time. He actually wrote a viral piece about giving up drinking that appeared in Esquire and the Chicago Tribune. And now he has moved into Adulthood for Beginners. He lives in Chicago with his cat, and with a whole bunch of class, of course. And he's here to talk about the book. So welcome, Andy.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. So I want to jump right in here. So in your book, you have one piece that you give advice is WWTHD, which stands for What Would Tom Hanks Do? How in the world did you come up with that? And when do we apply the WWTHD?
So that was some advice that I actually got from a writing teacher, Scott Dickers, a couple of years ago. And the basic idea is, whenever you don't know how to respond to a situation, think to yourself, what would Tom Hanks do right now? Tom Hanks has always kind of been this guy who tries to give tons of credit to other people, downplay his own skills and success, and tries to be as nice and empathetic as possible. And if you do that when you don't know how to respond to a situation, odds are it's going to turn out okay, just like most things that Tom Hanks does.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that you should go to an island and talk to a soccer ball.
You can also do that. Any friends you have named Wilson also helps.
That's right. That's right. So what is your number one tip? Like the biggest piece of advice that you learned about adulthood, because there's a lot of kids graduating from college and high school right now and moving into adulthood.
I think one of the biggest pieces of advice that you can that I could give that I wish I had when I was younger is saying these magical words either in your relationships, at work, in other places. And that's just simply, how can I help? And just by saying that, if like, you know, a friend's complaining, if your boss is complaining about something, you can just say, how can I help? And sometimes all the help that they may need is just for you to listen and for you to care and be empathetic. But sometimes there are actual things you can do to help them out. And if you are a person who is always trying to help others, I just believe mm-hmm. that the universe gives so much more back to you. And you also develop a reputation as being the helpful person, which I think is a great reputation to have.
That's a really good piece of advice. So how did you – so clearly you've moved through adulthood and you've entered it and now you're well into it. How did you decide what went into the book?
Part of it was I kind of just thought through all the things that I had done poorly throughout the earlier parts of my life. So it was just kind of like, well, what are areas that I actually worked on and had to work on and get better at? And some of that was, again, being more empathetic, how to deal with your bosses, how to write cover letters, how to date better, how to take care of your body, how to have better mm-hmm. mental health. All of these things that I slowly learned over the years, I kind of wrote a big list of all the things I think that I had gotten better at. And then I was like, okay, well, what is the advice for each of these topic areas that I wish I had known when I was 22 or 23? So that kind of gave me a nice roadmap.
And I just wonder, so some of the things are, I guess, common sense things, like one of the things you address is, should I sleep with a coworker? How do you get people to, I mean, that's something that just common sense, I think we all know the answer, but how do you present it in a way that people actually pay attention to it?
So one of the ways is by using humor. I try to make jokes. I try to not write it in a way that it's just like, these are things you must do no matter what. Mm-hmm. They're more like guidelines, and in a lot of instances, I give you examples from my own life where I failed and made mistakes, and I was just like, well, here's a better way that I learned to do this, and here's proof that you can also do it poorly, and here's what happened to me. So it kind of can give people a little bit more of a sense of how they could possibly go through their lives. And again, I tried to never write from this vantage point as if I am this all-knowing entity that knows everything. It's just like, hey, here's what kind of worked for me. And I know it's worked for some of my friends and others. Hopefully it'll be helpful for you.
Well, the book is great. It really, you've done a good job at grabbing the things in life that maybe we think that we should write down, but we never do. And I highly recommend it. It'd be a great gift for graduation, that's for sure. And you can find out more about Andy at andyboyle.com. We have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. Thanks, Andy, for sharing some of your advice with us today. And don't forget, you guys, you're never too old to become an adult. I want to thank everyone for sharing some of their day with us on Mom Talk Radio. We'll be right back here next week, same time, same place. And if you can't join us, you can find us in the Apple Store, download our free app, and take us along with you and watch some of our past or listen to our past shows. I'm Maria Bailey. Have a great week, everyone.